This is going to be a heck of a show. It's Kristen's birthday, so we got a solo shot of Kristen on the live stream. Hello, Kristen.
Hello, Pete.
Happy birthday, friend.
Thank you. Can you please take me off the screen
now? We're going to keep you on the solo shot for a little bit here. Dame, hello.
Hey, Pete.
Coming live on location from your pet store.
Yes.
Dame's got like 1,000 sparrows chirping outside of his broadcasting barn.
I think some birds might have made a nest underneath one of the eaves of my barn, so I may have to go take care of that after the show today.
If you were Governor Kristi Noem, you would murder them. All right, so Kristen, happy birthday! It is. Well, I'm going to take you off the full screen here.
Thank you.
Is this a notable birthday? But are we talking about that, or like what's your comfort level there?
I mean, we hint at the fact that I'm younger than you guys all the time, and we're talking about how it's a notable birthday. So I feel like it's pretty obvious that I'm 30 today.
Ooh.
And I'm having a hard time with it, gentlemen.
30 years old.
I know.
Dame, do you remember when you were 30?
Barely.
I barely remember. It's before I had kids.
Yeah.
I remember that. But those birds are amazing. Hold on, everyone. Shh.
It is incessant.
That's unbelievable. I feel like we're watching chicks incubate. You know?
Yeah, sure.
Kristen, did you ever, when you were a young lady, you aren't now, but when you were a younger lady, did you ever think that you'd spend your 30th birthday on a live stream with two old bald men?
No.
And a nest full of birds.
I didn't. Was not on my bingo card for my 30th, that's for sure.
And Kristen, by the way, last week you did a supercut of the show and you sent it to Dame and I of me just staring up into space during elements of the show. Did you post that anywhere, or did you just keep it for our own personal
use? It was just for our personal use, because to the listener, I always watch and listen to the show back, and I was like, man, Pete's really acting like he's thinking a lot. And what's going on here? So I decided to clip it, and it was pretty funny when it was all run together.
Dame, I have been searching hot chicken menus all morning as to what I might have for lunch. Just so you know, maybe those hot chickens that are in the background there.
Very, very small pieces of hot chicken, I have a feeling.
A lot of birthday greetings for Kristen. Kristen, we have some segments today. Is one of them going to be about the you eavesdropping on a conversation yesterday at a restaurant?
It can be, for sure.
I think it totally needs to be.
Okay.
Kristen's texting Dame and I last night about her eavesdropping into these two gentlemen's conversation, just judging them, just really being. What's misogynist but against men? What's that called? Does anyone know that?
You mean like Kevin?
Yeah. You know, no, not Karen. No, like you know, you're a misogynist, but what's the male root word for like you're against men? What's that called?
Not walking into that.
I don't know. Does anyone know?
For what it's worth, I was not eavesdropping. The guy was like half yelling. I couldn't help but overhear.
Okay, misogynist male version. I'm looking right now. Misandrist.
Misandry. I've never heard
that ever. I don't know if I've heard that. Misandrist.
Can you read the definition to me, please? Exactly.
Misandry is the hatred of, contempt for, or prejudice against men or boys. Well, that's Kristi.
Okay.
Just kidding, of course. Happy birthday, Kristen. You're 30 years old. Dame and I went in on a joint gift for you. And it is a hearty batch of well wishes.
Yeah, I figure.
Yeah. Dave and I actually talked yesterday. We're like, you know, we probably could have done something. And they're like, nah.
Well wishes for all that's in the budget.
It's true. You get your Moneyline gift card or something, right?
Yeah.
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 Okay, that is true.
Okay. What are we doing today? I mean, it is your birthday, but by the way, no judgment here, but a lot of judgment. Thanks for not being the person that takes your birthday off. You know what I mean?
Well, we do have flex holidays here, and the temptation to use my own birthday as a flex holiday, pretty strong. But the thing about that is everybody else has to work. So, like, what am I going to do? Just, like, sit at my house by myself on my birthday? Like, that's not fun.
Yeah, that felt very judgmental to say that. I just remember once, oh boy, never mind. All right, what are we talking about on the show?
We have a question.
Okay, great.
About pensions.
Lovely.
We have me eavesdropping.
Yes.
If you want to call it that. And then there is a third question about a married couple and some lingering debt.
Well, I mean, that feels like a segment two and three based on your eavesdropping will line up perfectly. Correct?
Yeah.
They kind of will, right?
I mean, sort of, yeah. But Dame, are you looking at the questions?
Yeah. Well, I'm the one that I shared with you this morning, yes.
Oh.
From misandry to miscellaneous.
Mm. Wow.
I don't know. Let's move on. I feel like something eventful happened this week that I was going to share with you guys. And now I don't remotely remember. Great. That makes for good radio. Okay. Let's start the show. Kristen, who's reading the email?
I just sent it to Dame.
Okay, Dame's reading it. All right. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. This week on the Pete the Planner Show, we answer your money questions. Here's how the show works. You email us askpete@petetheplanner.com. That's askpete@petetheplanner.com, and we will answer your questions. By the clearing of the throat, we is quite apparent, and that is Damian Dunn, male throat clearer. Hello, sir.
Hello, Pete.
And the birthday girl.
It's me.
Kristen Elanius. Happy birthday, friend.
Thank you.
This has got to be your worst birthday ever, spending time with Dame and I.
You know, I chose to be here. I could have taken today off. So
yeah, bold move. Okay. We have questions we're answering this week. Kristen was at a coffee shop eavesdropping on two men. And so we're going to talk about her misandry and on those sorts of things. But first, Dame is going to read a listener question. Oh, by the way, Dame is on location in a bird cage.
Yeah.
So if you hear, not bird cage with Nathan Lane and Robin Williams, but there's a tremendous number of birds outside of Dame's studio. And so it sounds like he is selling parakeets as a fundraiser for a school marching band or something.
It's not my favorite show setting I've ever had, but we're going to go on. We're going to persevere.
Okay.
Should I get to the question?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Hi, Pete, Dame, and Kristen. Our question revolves around whether my wife should opt for the pension or, quote, other option at work. She's starting a job where working for the state, and it's more complicated than the private sector in that there are options other than a 401k. We are in our late 30s, own a house, and have a one-year-old child. Along with the 457B, which she will participate in, there's a choice between a pension option, which includes a defined benefit and defined contribution piece, and another option with a defined contribution only. The defined contribution requires 3% of her salary to be contributed in both options. But the second option, the no pension option, also includes a variable employer match. It was 3.7% this year. All right, so timeout. Are we all on track for what's going on here?
So the defined contribution forces her to put in 3%.
They both do.
The defined contribution requires 3% of her salary be contributed in both options.
I feel confused.
Okay, so Dame, you're saying if she does the defined benefit plan, which is the pension, she still has to send 3% off?
Yes.
And if she chooses the 401k / 403b / 457, whatever it is also requires a mandatory 3%.
It sounds like it because there's a match involved and she would have to get the match. And I don't know what the formula is, but she's going to have to contribute to get some kind of benefit, obviously.
I feel up to speed.
Okay. You do not get the match with the pension option, but you get the pension. Should have maybe read that question before the timeout. It appears that she would have to work for 22 years in order to receive the pension. If she left prior to that, bupkis.
Ooh.
We've crunched the numbers, and the pension will provide more actual income in retirement, assuming she works there long enough to qualify. The benefit of not doing the pension is receiving a match each year that would be fully vested within 5 years, although the match has less dollars and likely income during retirement when compared to the pension. It is invested in a way that is under our control and continue to grow even in retirement. So, is there a better option here? Any advice? If we think we're on track to meet our retirement goals with savings, does taking the match with make the most sense, assuming we stick to the typical distribution percentages in retirement? We always thought a pension would be the gold standard, so looking at this has been perplexing. Pete, the eyes down here. The birds are not up in your ceiling.
Oh, man. I wonder if the radio listener can actually hear the birds.
Probably. If you can, they can. So, all right, numbers. We've got a little bit of background here. Current retirement, they believe they're on schedule for their goal overall and will be contributing, continuing to max out the 401k and 457b, less 3% into the defined contribution if that's the route they go. Any additional available retirement savings into IRAs. Assume pension 23.8 per year over 25 years of expected life expectancy. It's about 600 grand. Assumed match, if they go that route, about $225,000 value at the same retirement age as pension. Big difference.
Oh, man. I love this question. I love this question. And by background, did you mean background noise? Those last two facts, I think, really stack it back to the pension's favor. Do you not?
I love pensions. I think Pete, you and I are in a similar boat. The pensions are just amazing retirement vehicles if they're for the right person. And I'm not sure this is the best situation to go for the pension.
Really? Are we going to fight on Kristen's birthday?
Oh, wait. Let Kristen chime in because she has an even hotter take.
Oh, Lord. What's a pension?
No.
What?
Ouch. Okay. So first of all, on my 30th birthday, I'm apparently a newbie and I didn't start the timer. So I will need some assistance as we go on.
She's getting forgetful.
I know. My old age. It's really catching me.
Yeah.
So to understand my hot take, we have to back the bus up just a little bit. Do the two of you remember when you were studying for various licensing exams, like your series exams, your CFP or AFC or whatever, and you would get to the retirement space, and there was always this call out to this concept for high paying executives to incentivize them to stay with companies. There's this term called golden handcuffs. Are you tracking? Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah. It was 25 years ago, but yes.
Well, I was just making sure. So this has always been talked about in the context of high paid employees that you want to retain. And we're talking big numbers, big bonuses, big stock options, et cetera. But is the pension kind of the everyman's golden handcuffs?
I think it's meant to be. I think the Dame, I don't view a pension in modern sense as a reward. I view it as a reward for staying.
Yeah, I mean, you are going to give a good chunk of your life to one company, and they are in turn going to pay you for your entire life while you are working for them and while you aren't. And I don't have any issues with that.
But the median amount of time that someone stays at an employer is like 5 years.
That's pensions have changed drastically in how they are viewed and how they can actually function and benefit today's employees, because job hopping is just so prevalent in this day and age. So it's really tough to make a pension your key retirement vehicle or offering to your employees, because they're not going to be around long enough to get it, or at least any meaningful benefit out of it.
Does their age play a factor in how much you favor or don't favor the pension? They said they're in their late 30s And then the wife has to work there for 22 years in order to receive the pension. And they're doing a lot of the right things independent of that. Does that pull you away from the pension, or does it push you even harder to the pension?
Pulls me away. Not necessarily because they're in their late 30s, but the fact they have a one-year-old kid. There are so many variables that are on the forefront. They can't begin to think about being in a place for another 22 years. I'm going to check with my peanut gallery. Yes, they agree. But I think they've just got so many variables in their life right now that saying I'm going to commit to 22 years of work for this one employer, that's a really tough.
Yeah, I kind of wish that this email was like, we're already 5 years in. Like, I wish it was that. Because at 20, like, T-minus 22 years, that's a lot could go on. I mean, without knowing what government entity or whatever, like, there could be a turnover in political parties in the state, and they wipe out the payrolls, and like, you just don't know. Okay, you talked me into it. I think they should do the divine contribution plan. And it's with that we take a break so that Dame's birds can get a bird bath. Coming up after the break, more bird sounds and Kristen's birthday. I'm Pete the Planner. Kristen's 30 years old today. We celebrated with a pie full of magpies. What's the old children's thing where like there's crows in a pie or something? What's that thing? Anybody?
I don't know. I'm only 30.
No, I know what you're talking about, and I can't
think of it. Yeah. Blackbirds.
Blackbirds. I think, but I
no one knows. No. Kristen, what are the big plans for the weekend? Let's hear it.
So embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're 30 now, so I know. There's a lot of embarrassing stuff
happening. Really stepping out of my youth here. I think tonight I'm going to dinner at my dad's, and then potentially going to have drinks with a girlfriend of mine. And then I don't know what I'm doing Saturday, going for a run, I think. And then Sunday, because I mean, I celebrate the whole month of May, but Sunday, I have asked my mom and my sister and my boyfriend to help fix the landscaping at my house as a birthday present to me.
Didn't you just fix it last year?
Just the one section. I want to do the rest of it.
Okay. All right.
Make sure you don't cut any fiber lines this year.
That was so bad.
But as you're getting older, you do need to pay more attention to fiber. Okay. Dame, this next segment is about Kristen eavesdropping on two men in Napanee, Indiana. Is that right?
That is true.
Was it Napanee?
It was.
Oh, okay.
I totally made that up. 4 and 20 blackbirds naked in a pie, says Jameson, but that was a mistype. Baked. He meant baked in a pie. Are those pain drugs really kicking in from the recovery from your leg ailment, Jameson? 4 and 20 blackbirds naked in a pie. Man, this is why he's a listener of all time, right? Yeah. You don't earn that with not having typos. Those birds are unbelievable. I love them. I don't want you to feel
bad. He hates it. He hates it.
I don't want you to feel bad, but I am going to bring it up for the next hour.
He hates it.
Kristen, I'm definitely getting hot chicken now.
Kristen, if you were in Napanee, were you at our favorite restaurant?
I was not. No, right. I wasn't. I was across the street.
What kind of birds are there, and how many do you think there are?
There's probably just like two.
Do you want me to go look?
Yeah. 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 Let's do that.
For crying out loud.
They are crying out loud. That's the point.
I still don't understand this blackbird thing, even with the correction. I don't know what it means.
There's a nursery rhyme about like 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie, or as they do in Texas, the birds are naked. In a pie. Thanks, Jameson, for that. All right. I feel like Dame's the sort of guy that could literally go out there and Krav Maga these birds, and we'd have a better show.
If they have a nest, that's not very kind.
Okay. He's got to put his ears back in here. And we have learned.
It's three birds. Final answer.
For those that don't know, Dame broadcasts in a barn on his property. It's a lovely barn. All right, Dame, what was the lay of the land?
Didn't see any birds.
What?
I have no idea. They were just,
they're in the walls.
I'm a little nervous. They might be either down a downspout and stuck in a downspout, which happens occasionally.
They're in the wall.
Well, downspout wall, but I think they might be in a downspout.
I was hoping you'd kill two birds with one stone.
Oh, Gail is devastated.
I know. Gail, does Gail even listen to the show anymore?
Of course not.
No, why? I mean, she's moved on with her lovely life. She doesn't need to listen to my tomfoolery.
If she does, I hope she has it translated into German so she can learn some more local language.
Hey, Gail, if you're listening, we love you.
Absolutely.
That is true.
Okay. Let's continue on. And it's with that that someone else here is going to have to tell the story. It's going to have to be Kristen.
Don't.
What?
Please don't put me full screen.
Oh, I'm not going to put you full screen.
Okay.
Of course I am. 3, 2, 1. Back on the Pete the Planner show. You know, back in the day when I was social and I'd go places, I would always find myself at a coffee shop or something, and inevitably, the conversation behind me was a financial conversation. Sometimes I feel like all that's either, there's two things that happen at coffee shops, Bible studies and financial conversations. And if Dave Ramsey's there, it's the same thing. And so yesterday, Kristen was at was it a coffee shop, Kristen?
Yeah, it's a coffee shop.
She's in Northern Indiana. She's listening to these people blab on, and she starts texting elements of the conversation to Dame and I, and it's a pretty spicy conversation. Kristen, what is the what's the vibe here? Like, I want you to describe it.
Okay, so the vibe of the coffee shop is that it's actually a little more on the loud side. It's not quiet by any stretch, and it's regularly, it is very full, despite the fact that it's a coffee shop, pretty much all hours that it's open. And so I was there around dinner time, but still very full, lots of people. And because it's a little bit more of a loud environment, you hear a lot of people's conversations. That's not abnormal. And the tables are really close together. So while Pete is making fun of the fact that I was eavesdropping, the gentleman was literally sitting, I mean, less than a foot from me. He was on the other side of, like, I was sitting in a booth and he was immediately behind me. In another one.
Okay. Okay. And what's the nature of the conversation?
The nature of the conversation, the dynamic of the conversation was that the gentleman that was doing the most speaking was clearly some level of mentor to the other gentleman that he was with.
So people have often accused me of being Damien's father. They think that we're related, that I'm older. So Dame, in this instance, as people are imagining this Northern Indiana coffee shop that's full, let's imagine I'm mentoring you. So Kristen, what advice or guidance am I giving to my mentee?
Yeah. So the piece of guidance that you gave to your mentee that really kind of struck a chord with Kristen was the following. Money doesn't cause problems. It just reveals the stupidity you already had. You just couldn't afford it.
Okay. Okay. This honestly, look, and again, this does feel like a Dave Ramsey billboard. Like this, I feel like I've driven on 465 in Indianapolis and I've seen like money can't fix stupid or something like that. But let's break down this idea.
Money doesn't cause problems. It just reveals the stupidity you already had. You just couldn't afford it.
Dame, you want to go first?
There is some truth to this because I think if I had double the income that I have now, I would spend a stupid amount on vehicles. I just would, because I love cars and I could afford it. And I would go out and do it. Now, how many do I need? How many do I possibly, can I drive at once? One is the correct answer of that, but I would want a few different ones because, well, gosh darn it, I'm successful and I've got the cash and I can go do that. It makes no rational sense, but I would.
I kind of agree with the sentiment, but I don't like the negative aspect of it, which maybe that makes me soft. But like, I don't think by revealing behavior, it doesn't make a person stupid. It makes them human. Kristen?
Yeah, and if you can objectively afford it, just because in the eyes of someone else it's stupid doesn't mean that to you it's stupid and it's your money.
What was there a point that he was trying to make about that this kid was doing something stupid, or that like who was being stupid here?
No, they were just like running through a lot of different conversations. Wow. And they weren't talking through, like, I don't think they were talking about anyone's person specifically, but they were just like hitting a lot of hot takes as they went. And this was the one that was most applicable to our show. And then after that, he did give the example of, he was like, you know, take me when, you know, my first car, and it was some sports car, like a Challenger or something like that. He was like, my first car, that was stupid. It's because I had stupid money and I didn't know that this wasn't something I shouldn't do. And I think my problem with it is his use of the word stupid, because that's not, there's a difference between a lack of awareness, like choosing to be ignorant. Like, I don't think it's as easy as that word.
I'm afraid that the two of you are potentially still viewing this through the lens that you're talking about a semi-rational individual who makes generally good financial decisions. A lot of money speeds up that process and allows you to make wildly bad decisions really, really quick. Look at the number of people who win the lottery and are broke. They have a ton of resources. They're not going to make good decisions, and they're going to get accustomed to that spending and that lifestyle, and they will spend themselves out of it. If you are somebody who is financially conservative by nature and are going to make reasonably good decisions and keep on pursuing your financial goals without letting this new influx of cash hinder you from achieving them, okay, well, we can get away from the use of word stupid if you want. But I think there are plenty of decisions out there that are made in this very circumstance, however you want to define it. I wouldn't lean away from that word.
Yeah, I'd go the two elements here. Number one, I do believe more resources magnify whatever level of resourcefulness you have, right? So that's just a cleaner professional writer way to say it. But Kristen, I think maybe there's another quote within that conversation that is appearing on my text messages from last night that might be coloring your thoughts here. At some point in the conversation, it appears that the mentor noted that empires are built by men. Do you believe that has influence on your thoughts on the conversation?
Yeah, a little bit. Kristen was a little jaded. I did not know that all of my thoughts would be shared. But yes, the gentleman also did say that it is a man's job to build empires and that empires are built by men. And I said, okay.
Dame, you're raising a son and you're raising a daughter. And I feel like different Duns, by the way. I feel like sometimes for both my kids, when I try to make a point about this is what you do or this is what you don't do, it starts to cross into this weird gender place that no longer feels, I don't want to say pertinent, but sort of socially or culturally acceptable. And it's not that I'm raising a soft young man, but it's just like, I can't go, be a man, quit crying. Like, do you ever sense that when you're trying to parent that as you're trying to go from a gender to gender that you find yourself saying things that probably sounded like they were said 80 years ago? You ever do that?
Yeah. I mean, I and you and I both are trying to raise well-rounded young adults. Sure. We're doing whatever we can to, I'm not going to say, you know, correct the mistakes of the generation that raised our generation, because we're all doing the best we can with the information that we've got available to us at that point in time. But at the same time, I still fall into trying to raise a chivalrous young man who is going to act and behave and take on certain responsibilities, because that's how I believe he should function in a world.
Have you ever shared the idea that men build empires?
Not yet. I'm going to wait till he's 13.
That's when I do it.
Yeah.
All right. So we will agree that it is true. More money can lead to more problems.
There it is.
Notorious B.I.G. Said that. Now, I do want to note that when it gets into relationships and money, and then and how money can magnify one person's behaviors and habits, yet there's another person involved, it can get a little messier. And coming up after the break, we're going to talk about an email that came in. It's about a marriage. It's about debt. And how you look at that. All of that is next, right here on the birthday edition of the show for Kristen. I'm Pete the Planner. Okay.
Thanks for sharing more context there.
Well, I didn't read all of it.
No, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. And there I said they weren't your thoughts. They were his thoughts.
You didn't do anything. You literally just
transcribing. You're a stenographer in this case.
You guys, the speed at which my thumbs were going.
Were you with anybody, or were you just there by yourself eavesdropping?
I was there by myself.
Were you working?
I was working on some CE that I'm behind on.
Sheesh.
I know. The reporting period's coming up, and I'm behind.
I don't even know what any of that means. Okay, so who's reading this question? Don't everyone volunteer at once, because I don't want to hear the birds.
I don't have it open, so Kristen, you'll...
I Slacked it to you.
I know, but the way I've got my screen set up, I can't open the document.
All right.
Slack it to me.
It's fine. I'll read it.
Daddy can read.
Don't. Sorry. Just don't.
I'm sorry. Just, we did that
I
once.
I will read the question.
Yeah.
And it like, I think it hits.
No.
As long as you're okay with me spending 30 minutes to take a shower after the show's over, say whatever you want.
No one on the show can, or no one listening to the podcast can see the, like, this thing that you just did along with that. And that's for the best. I'll read it.
Caitlin Elanius summarizes how we all feel.
Ew.
Oh, come on, Sarah. Come on, Caitlin. Daddy can read.
He said it again.
Empires are built by daddies.
If this is,
this is on LinkedIn. This is on LinkedIn.
You are committing so many HR violations right now.
Man. Oh, Kristen.
I didn't. I tried to get you to stop.
Kristen, at 46 years old, stay on the radio, Caitlin. Calm down. At 46 years old, me, not you. And Dame, I don't know if this is the same for you. I spend most of my time just trying to forgive my 30-year-old self.
Like, only 30? You don't go back further?
Oh, I go back further, but like there was something around 30. Like, here's the thing. Sometimes I put on that I know a lot, but when I was 30, I knew everything.
Yeah.
Like, I literally knew everything when I was 30. Now I'm pretty sure I know close to nothing, and that's legitimate. Like, the universe of what is to know has grown, and my engagement with that amount to know has shrunk. But when I was 30, I literally knew everything.
I have never related to anything less that you said.
So I'm really curious, Pete, did you, you know, my Mrs. Advice made the observation that when she is around a group of my son's age friends, when they're in a group, they are emboldened. They act, you know, just more immature than when they are just individual. I think that changes a little bit. And so when you get to age 30, where you think you know everything, when you got in a group of people, did you feel like you were the expert in the room, or you knew more in a group of people than you did when you were had quiet times to contemplate, or did that just stay kind of level?
That's a good question. I think there was something else going on. Like my pure performer was cranked up more then. And I don't think I had as much empathy, to be honest. Like it was about me being the smartest person in the room, and yeah, I would share information with people, but ultimately, if I really had to be honest with myself, and in retrospect, it was about me. And I'm okay. I'm okay with that now because people grow, but that's definitely how it was.
Yeah.
This guy on a very special Pete the Piper show. Forgiveness.
You've just given me a great segment idea.
Is it about my deficiencies?
It could be.
Mrs. Planner has, if you just reach out to her, she's got a list. It's a running list. It's actually a spreadsheet, and it's on a thumb drive.
Could I get the link to that, actually?
Very special Pete the Planner show with Kristen and Mrs. Planner.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine that?
Yeah,
I feel like we would really bond. Yeah.
Yeah, she would have zero interest in being on this.
Well, I know that.
Here's a fun one. Dame, you talk about school-age children and the, I don't want to say dumb things you do, but because that's not what this is about, but it's just like emboldened. Like, yeah. Young Theodore this week, at the school he goes to, the whole school runs a 5K. Like, it's just like, it's one day, it's a 5K, you go run. Ted ran a 5K, and it was like, the results of this are interesting to me because this is like the most sixth grade thing ever. You're at school, you got a whole day of school, so you don't want to smell, you don't want to be sweaty and gross and exhausted. But when you're around your buddies and there's a race, and I'd say a gun goes off, but that seems a little on the nose. When the whistle blows and the race starts, you just go. You go, and you go all out. Ted ran a 5K at a 6:37 per mile pace this week, randomly at 8:30 in the morning at school. It's blowing my mind, not only because it's fast, but that's not it. It's just like, that's the most sixth grade thing in the world to do. You know,
100%.
It's shocking.
And then did they like let them, like, did he just like have to like be sweaty and gross the whole rest of the day?
I don't know. I took him to school today. I was like, hey man, deodorant, right? He's like, yeah. And I was like, do you have another shirt? And he was like, I'm fine. And so I don't know. Like, but God bless middle school teachers anyway. But then you see, he's crazy.
They don't have gym clothes?
They do, I think. I don't know. Dame, now you're making it seem like I don't talk to my kids.
Okay. A little bit, actually.
But anyway, I'll fax them later. All right, in 3, 2, 1. Back on the Bird the Planner show, live on location at a bird sanctuary in northern Indiana. Kristen Elanius, it's her birthday, and as part of her birthday, we had birds sing happy birthday to her. Damian Dunn is here as well. Some call him the Birdman. Dame, or Kristen, who's reading the email?
I will read the email. Does that now?
Yeah, Kristen, this is how it works. Welcome to the show.
You didn't like tee it up at all. You were just like, okay, that's fine. Dear Christy and Co., my wife and I are newly married and at a crossroads financially. I came into the marriage with some debt from just being young and irresponsible. This debt is the reason we haven't fully combined our finances. My wife wants to continue to wait to combine them until I've paid off this debt, whereas I feel it's really all the same in the end. I feel as though we keep having the same conversation and can't get past it. What should we do or consider to make a final plan and just move on?
Oh, I love this. I love this.
Okay. Fire away.
Dame, what do you think?
Got to be honest, I was a little distracted by the birds that were going. So there are a couple people got some, I think you said debt, maybe some bad financial decisions, trying to figure out if they should be combining finances.
Would you like me to read the email again? The husband has debt. It's the reason they haven't combined their finances. They are newlyweds, but they keep just talking about it because he thinks, hey, it's all the same in the end. But she thinks that he should pay off this debt because it's from before they were a couple. Mm-hmm. And the true question is, how do they move past it?
Okay. Dame, I know coming off that last segment, we talked about how gender gets in the way of things sometimes, or at least it's an element that you got to consider. I think he's, you know, I don't want to go like a chivalrous way here, but I feel like he's got to show some level of commitment and dedication to solving the problem, of as opposed to saying, well, it's our problem to fix now. I feel like he's got to be the leader here. And I don't know how gender is involved, but I do feel like he needs to be the leader.
Yeah, I think they probably need to sit down and figure out how their financial life is going to work on a month-to-month basis. You know, who's going to be responsible for what? Where is this money going? What combined financial goals do they have for retirement or vacation or house down payment or whatever it may be? And then how does the debt fit into that? Is because if he needs to take care of that debt and satisfy that obligation on his own, how is that going to impact the other goals that they have, and who's going to be funding those, and how's that money going to be spent there? So he's not entirely wrong that it's all going to wash out in the end, because if they're trying to achieve all these things and keep their head above water monetarily from month to month, yep. Yeah, money's going to be spent everywhere it needs to go. But if he's the one taking care of his debt, then his income has to go to that, and they'll have to figure everything out outside of that. So it's just a different way of cutting the same pie, in my estimation.
Kristen, what do you think?
It's hard, because preferably this would have been a pre-marriage conversation. But yeah, this is where we are. They're married, and they have these individual liabilities. And Dame, of several things you said, I'm like, yeah, agreed. But the thing that you said that stuck out to me the most is that, could it be, I think effectively what you were saying is, like, depending on what type of debt this is, this could be a significant hindrance to their short and intermediate joint goals. And at that point, do we have to combine resources to achieve them? What if she's a much higher income earner and she is saying, hey, like, this is your responsibility to figure out, but he's really kind of living paycheck to paycheck without the combined finances? What kind of burden is that placing on our intermediate goals as a couple?
I was thinking she had higher income too. I don't know if that's what you're actually saying or if it was an example, but I kind of sniffed that out. And I think back when I used to do this, for help people with these things, what you would see is each person has discretionary income that they spend on whatever. Mm-hmm. And the scrutiny of his discretionary transactions will immediately escalate, right? Like, why do you spend $13 at lunch? Why mm-hmm. did you spend $11 at lunch? And that's going to add a lot of stress, no matter how they do this, because it is those same decisions, theoretically, of $13 lunch that got them in the jam in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. And when they're asking, the ultimate question is, like, how do we make a plan and move past this? I would encourage a couple who feels like they're revisiting the same financial conversations to kind of have a conversation, not about this, but let's talk about like how we got here. Did we get here because the wife was raised in a household that was maybe a little bit more set up for success financially, and that's why she's launched their relationship in a better place? Was he brought up in a house where he had to take on debt? Like, we don't know the context of why the debt happened. Look at your money scripts. Have conversations about money that aren't about this specific topic.
You guys, what if the debt is the wedding ring?
Oh man, what is this, 15 years ago? Are we doing this? Like, is that still a thing? I mean, I know for a while that was like a big thing. Uh-oh, Kristen had a point because she stuck her finger in the air.
But even if it's not the wedding ring, isn't it the wedding ring if he bought it? Because if he had debt, even if he could afford the wedding ring, it's really still kind of the ring. Because if he used the cash he had to buy the ring and now still has consumer debt, he couldn't afford it.
Potentially. I mean, one of the questions was going to be, does it matter? Does the debt matter? The type of debt matter? Is it to, because he bought something irrational or immature or whatever? Or is it he's got a ton of school loans that they need to be taken care of for whatever reason? Did she know about it prior to the marriage? And if she did, why did she get, I don't know. I mean, there's all sorts of questions. I don't know.
That's a good one, Dame, because if she knew before they got married that he had this debt and we launched a financial life together and she's still saying I'm not willing to combine finances until this is paid off, I don't know that that's super fair.
Okay. So to him?
Yeah. If she knew that he had this debt and they've agreed to get married, they've presumably had some money conversations. And if she says that she's not willing to combine finances, even though she knew about this debt before she agreed to get married, is it super fair to like say that she's not willing to pool resources to pay it off?
That's a great question. My favorite lark of a guess here is that that it's for a ring. Like I love that. I love that. And it wouldn't be her fault.
No.
Right. But she would have benefited from it. Like, so the question is, did she benefit from any of this debt she is reluctant to help pay off?
Even if it's not the ring, I think the answer is yes. He was living a lifestyle that he couldn't afford. And you would think that a couple working toward and then being married, there would be things that he's paying for along the way that they both benefited from.
But that's where it's like, well, is it student loan debt? Like, we don't know. We don't know it's credit card debt, do we?
It says from being young and irresponsible, it could be student loans or credit cards. Who knows?
Yeah, hair plugs. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So with 40 seconds left, what's our guidance here?
We seek out some counseling to help us make this decision. I think the conversation's bigger than money.
Yeah, Dame. I think this could turn into a massive like relationship problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really easily. Really easily.
Here's the Mrs. Planner and I got married when we were children. I mean, it was nearly criminal. We were 22. And so we were young and dumb together. And so when people get married later, this is like a newer thing. People have these lives that they got to combine coming up after the break. Speaking of biggest waste of money, we'll do that. And the news, I'm Pete the Planner. 2.5 seconds over for that crappy outro. A lot of people have noticed over the last couple of weeks that while other people are talking on the show, I will lean back and stare at the ceiling like I'm in a New York courtroom. And here's the thing. I don't know why I'm doing it other than I'm sort of stretching. I am arguably tired, but I'm not sleeping when I'm leaning back. But it is a little weird. It's been 2 weeks in a row. I just sort of lean back, look into space.
It's a relatively new development, too.
It is.
What the hell is going on?
You're getting old. Yeah.
We're all getting old.
I've got my physical in 2 weeks. So my doctor, next Monday. Man, I'm telling you, like, wonder if he's just like, well, you got to start taking this or that. And it's old guy pills, you know? Mm. I do feel like I'm aging rapidly. I'm the opposite of Benjamin Button. James, sorry, I was distracted by birds.
Yeah.
James wants to know if our new studio will have a treadmill desk. I keep forgetting we're moving. You know? Well, you guys don't think about it because you're not.
We literally just talked about it yesterday, Pete.
I know, but I told you I don't think about it.
I know.
Yeah, I forget. What's the studio going to like? Ben's designing it, I think.
Ooh, it'll be cool.
I just want to look like an influencer, you know, with like an ivy wall with like neon, like girl power or something.
Ooh, a sign that says breadwinner. That's what I want for my wall.
Empires are built.
By Peters? Empires
built here.
Okay. I won't repeat my joke because it was funny, but he ignored it.
I heard it.
There it is. Okay, let's go. 3, 2, 1. No. Okay. This is a pretty good one. 3, 2, 1. This week's biggest waste of money of the week, right here on the Pete the Planner Show, is the Foresight QuadMax Golf Launch Monitor. Mm-hmm. Hit the range all you want. But without precise data, it's hard to dial in your game. Powered by advanced four-camera photometric data capture technology and trusted by PGA Tour pros, Foresight's Quad Max launch monitor releases 18 data points from the ball and the club, from launch angle and spin to ball apex, descent angle, and club head speed. The latter also works without a ball in a new speed training mode, which analyzes the swing and suggests adjustments to improve performance. While it excels on the range with a touchscreen display, customizable metric display via MyTiles, all-day battery life, and offline storage for up to 2 billion shots. Time out.
Does it come with knee and shoulder replacements too?
Okay. There's offline storage for 2 billion shots. No one can take 2 billion golf shots.
I think they mean like analyzed shots. Like in your swing, it will take 500, and it, like, I don't know. I don't think they're talking about hitting that many golf balls.
It also comes bundled with a full suite of gaming and performance simulation software, including 25 courses for at-home use. Kristen, you take this thing to the driving range, you set it next to you, and then you swing, and it measures stuff. How much is the Foresight Quad Max golf launch monitor?
This might be the biggest waste of money we've ever had.
Well,
honestly. And well, I have.
You tell me. I mean, is it a waste at $50 or is it a waste at $100? Like, what's it a waste at? Anything?
It's a waste at any amount, because for it to be effective, it's going to have to be really expensive, and anything less than is truly a waste. And golf stuff is so expensive. And I don't know. Is it, I hate this game. Is it $1,200?
All right. Dottie Pepper says $1,200, Dame.
I don't get it.
That was for all the olds. Sorry, youngin.
How about $19,999?
$19,999. Dame, are you cheating?
I mean, if you mean because I already knew how much that cost because I've seen it multiple times, then yes. But I'm familiar with the Foresight Quad Max.
What?
Why?
What's wrong with you?
Sim golf is fun.
Do you own this?
No.
I feel like no. You own this.
No. No, I own a much, much, much cheaper version.
You own something like this. You
own one of these things?
I have a simulator set up in my barn. Yeah.
What? You're the most interesting person in the world.
Why?
Okay, so let's.
I just told you sim golf is fun. That's why.
I don't enjoy fun.
Yeah, well, we've established that.
Dame, what's in the news?
You don't want to talk sim golf? I can do news. That's fine. Yuga Labs, the creator of the viral Bored Ape Yacht Club non-fungible token, announced a new round of layoffs as the NFT frenzy appears to cool even further. Greg Solano, Yuga Labs CEO, announced that the startup would lay off an unspecified number of employees as it undergoes, quote, restructuring. The news comes as the floor price of the popular NFT collection, once touted by celebrities like Justin Bieber and Paris Hilton, sinks to lows not seen since it was released in 2021. The floor price is the lowest price an NFT in a given collection will sell for, and as of May 1st, Bored Ape Yacht Club's floor price hovered around the U.S. dollar equivalent of nearly $40,000, because remember, you buy these things with crypto. And that's down from the peak floor price of around $354,000 in 2022, which is a far cry from the top prices Bored Apes once sold for. In September of 2021, a Bored Ape was auctioned by Sotheby's for a little over $24 million.
Kristen, first, can we all maybe agree, other than Golf Simulator, that I don't want anyone to lose their job, and I also don't want people to lose money, right? Mm-hmm. Can we agree on that, Dame? Agreed. You're with us here too. He's not. He's thinking about how he could buy the Quad Max. I love this. we were all made to feel so stupid because we weren't jumping on the NFT bandwagon, and all these financial experts on social media were like buying them and putting them in their avatars and all these sorts of things. And I was just like, man, I'm telling you, this is the dumbest thing in the world. Guess what, Dame? It's the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah. Unless you bought and sold it for a profit, then you did it right. But didn't work out so well for a lot of holders.
It just never passed the sniff test.
No.
I mean, just like, oh, a non-fungible token. Okay. What is that? You can't explain it. You shouldn't buy it. And
exactly. That's the key. If you can't explain it to me like I'm five, please don't buy it.
Dan, what else is in the news?
Bad news for the mole at Dave and Buster's. It'll soon be getting whacked even more zealously than ever before because there's going to be money on the line. The arcade chain plans to let adults wager $5 on some of its iconic games. What could possibly go wrong? Grown-ups among its 5 million loyalty members will be able to make classics like Skee-Ball about more than just nostalgia by using the D&B Rewards app to bet against each other. D&B is not doing it alone. It teamed up with the competitions for cash startup Lucra, which already enables tennis and pickleball hobbyists to play for money. Lucra avoids the B word when it describes its services, calling them, quote, real money contests or challenges, which it says aren't regulated in the same way as gambling on games of chance.
Kristen, I'm very anti-gambling. You know this?
Yes.
But I kind of love this.
So you can make, let me get this straight. You and Mrs. Planner can be on a date night at Dave and Buster's.
There's a lot of fallacies already happening here, but go ahead.
Just go with me. Yeah. And I could be there making side bets on your ability or inability to play skee-ball.
I think so. What are you like? A person's going, you scan a QR code on the machine, and then that user's success is measured against the app. This is genius. I love this.
Yeah, but what happens when somebody's like
tanks on purpose?
Exactly. Yeah.
Or like if I walked in and I was really good at pool, you probably wouldn't expect like a 30-year-old woman to be really great at pool. And then I, you know, people place bets and then I come in and I just like run the table. Like what?
Dame, do you notice like she literally is just 30 years old today and she's already throwing examples into the show about 30-year-old women? Did you see how slick she is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's really owning it. The parts of this are absolutely genius and fun, even though I don't like gambling. But there's some answers to be had here about, as Ted would say, point shaving. Every time a teammate performs poorly in youth sports for him, he accuses the poor lad of point shaving, which is a little aggressive.
Yeah.
But Dave and Buster's might have some of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, between adults, alcohol, competition, and money, I mean, what could possibly go wrong around kids?
Not a thing.
What else? One more time, one story.
Relationship advice. Find someone who wants you as much as Google wants to be the default engine in Safari. Newly released court documents in the government's antitrust case against Google, which is scheduled to wrap up this week, show that Google parent Alphabet paid Apple $20 billion to remain the default in 2022. Bloomberg also reports that during the trial, a witness let slip that Google pays 36% of search ad revenue to Apple. And though that relationship is at the heart of the government's monopoly claims against Google, other documents show that Microsoft also wanted in, offering Apple 90% of ad revenue to break up with Google and go for Bing. But 90% of nothing is.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Primary browser you use, Dame?
Chrome.
Kristen?
Chrome.
Chrome. I feel like our developers, our software engineers here, I saw one of them the other day and they were on some browser that no one's even heard of. And you know, it's like no one uses it except the engineers, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, happy birthday, Chris. May your decade of 30s be fruitful. Sending everyone else good vibes because it's all that's in the budget. I'm Pete the Planner. This is the Pete the Planner show. Okay.
Can you guys hear that?
Nope.
Okay. Mojo's having a nightmare and I didn't know if we could hear that in the last segment. He's like crying.
What an eventful show. Doggy dreams are cute to watch.
He likes zombie dogs. It freaks me out. Mm. Yeah.
Damn, I don't hear the birds anymore. Oh, Never mind.
Oops.
That's all right. Well, I hope you guys have a good week. And Kristen, take it easy on the ranch waters.
I'm 30, not 21. It'll be fine.
Dude, she's really owning 30. She said I'm 30 like five times.
I have said that for the last like 2 years, I've just been like, yeah, I'm 30. So not on the show. We never actually disclose my age on the show. We always just say that I'm younger. But in my personal life, I'm always like, oh, yeah, I'm 30. And my mom's always like, no, you're not. Well, now I am.
If I may, and this is probably going to come off the wrong way.
Here it is.
She's the oldest 30-year-old on the planet.
People have been saying this about her for decades, Pete.
No, I mean, honestly, I can't believe what you started here when you were 24.
Mm-hmm.
Jiminy Christmas.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Happy birthday, Kristen.
Thank you.
Damon, I got you nothing.
That's fine.
Dame, have a good weekend with your family.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And everyone else, stay getting money.